Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Give honor to God, who is first in my life, and to the Spirit of God that abides in this early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church, Generation, G-E-N-E-L-A-T-I-O-N. Generation means we have a start-to-finish ministry given by God, exposing the Alpha and Omega. I believe the Lord has sent me to the kingdom for such a time as this, to minister to generations past, present, and future. I honor the past by singing hymns and anthems on a continual basis to never forget the songs that brought our forefathers and mothers over. And I establish the present by appointing junior ushers, junior deacons, junior trustees, and I train them in the fear of the Lord and treat them like the church of today and tomorrow, because I believe when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by singing praise and worship without any music from time to time, so that our church will never get caught up with the method and miss the message. Blog Talk Radio. Y'all ready to have some church? For those of you that bought your Bibles, it is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody say, life. It is the only weapon we have that the thieves can't steal, the robbers can't take, and the police can't arrest. And I don't care where you live, somebody said, that is the word of God. I want to turn your attention just for a little while this morning, on the day that the Lord has loaned to you and I for just a little while, to the book of 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and I'm going to begin reading at the 6th verse. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and 6th verse. If you're with me, say amen. If you need some more time, somebody say mercy. Mercy is a good thing. And the word of the Lord reads as thus, excuse me, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say amen. In the 8th verse, it says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the day, and not only to me, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be this morning, right here at the 8th verse of 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, before I can even give you my subject this morning. Because you all know the word unity. Unity means to make one and to be on one accord and harmony with all intended parties with the same destination in mind. And I need to be on unity road this morning before I can give you my text. If I'm right about it, somebody say amen. That's why. That's why I had no problem pulling the great missionary Apostle Paul out to help me this morning. But he makes it very clear in the 8th verse, because I've got to deal with this unity thing before I give you my text. Paul says, I've got something. It's not just for me. It's not just for me only, but it's for all who love the Lord too. Because if you work with me and I work with you and we work this thing together, we'll have unity. And so you don't have to sit back and be all nasty. You don't have to be jealous. You don't have to stab me in the back, because you will be able to get it also. Somebody say glory. My dear. My dear brothers and my sisters, as we begin to embark upon these written words by the great missionary Apostle Paul, who makes profound reference to the fact that he has something laid up for him. He has something awaiting him, and he has something forthcoming, and he has something in store for him. And by the virtue of the fact that he said henceforth, caught my attention this morning for this particular text. But that word alone means future. In layman terms, it means I can't get it right now, but it is laid up for me. And so that brought me to the title of this sermon this morning. And if you will, please tell somebody, I know it's early, but tell them, for me, I've got something in the layaway. Listen, put your hands on your hips and let your backbone slip and repeat after me. I've got something in the layaway. Let's have church. Church. That's the essence. And if you reduce it to its lowest terms of denomination, as we do in fractions, you will agree with me that Paul is saying to Timothy, listen, I've got something in the layaway. My dear brothers and my sisters, to fully appreciate this sermon this morning, one must fully understand from whom these words came from. And one must be conscious of the circumstances that the words were written from at the time of address. Paul, you all know him, don't you? Paul, who met the Lord in a fashion where unity was not present, in a place called Damascus Road. God had to fight him. I mean, really, it wasn't a fight at all. It was a TKO at the first round, for the Bible declares that God knocked him down. I know I'm right about it. Somebody say amen. Prior to his conversion, his name was Saul. Paul, who did not want to be unified with anything or anybody, sort of like some church folk I know. But he had opposed the Christian movement, and he had used all the means at his disposal in an effort to bring down the Christian army. Paul, it is he that writes these words this morning. And my brothers and my sisters, many years have passed since this great experience, that life-changing experience on the road to Damascus, for much have occurred. Oh, you all know the story. He was shipwrecked, am I right about it? And then he was stoned, and he was left for dead in one city, and then he was locked up in another city. And now he is in jail at the House of Corrections in Philippi. Somebody gonna pray for me. He's locked up in jail without the bail. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, Paul writes these words, and I pray this morning that you realize that he writes these words from an unpleasant environment. Y'all don't mind if I take my time this morning, do you? He writes these words, which was part of his second letter to Timothy. And he says, from a cold, damp dungeon. Oh, you all know the story. He said it's damp, it's cold, and it's chilly. For you all know, when you're in a church where there's no unity, you can feel the chill in the air. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And the chill came over Paul and began to write these words. He said, when you come. Somebody help me this morning. Hallelujah. He said, I need you to bring my cloak, because it's already grown cold, and I know these church folks don't like me, and I know what the vote's going to be the next time. Paul's mind began to go back to his young son in the ministry by the name of Timothy, and then he began to think and meditate on the fact that if I could just tell my son in the ministry these last words, I know everything will and shall be all right. Paul says, I want to see you, son. I've got to see you because I'm convinced that my time is just about up. And so when you come, I need you to bring my cloak. Because there's no unity here, and I can feel the coldness of the enemy. And then I need you to bring the parchments, the scriptures with you. For I'm getting old now, and my eyes are getting dim. But this one thing I do know. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. And I need to hear the word of God. And I need you to read a few scriptures unto me. And then he said, oh, one more thing. Somebody say one more thing this morning. Timothy, if you will, please, when you come, I need you to bring a certain fellow with you. I know I never liked a whole lot of visitors in church, but I need you to bring a certain fellow with you, because I had a falling out with his uncle over him, and then I fell out with Barnabas, my earlier conrag in the ministry, over this young man, and we had some difference of reconciliation together with the both of us, whereas we've gone as far as we can go. I need you to bring John Mark with you, because I know I don't have long to stay here, and I know I can't get my stuff out of layaway until I get a few things straightened out with me and John Mark. I need to put a cord in the meter right there. And I shouldn't have to tell you but one time. You can't get your stuff out of layaway until you straighten out of things with your John Mark. Everybody has a John Mark in their life. Somebody say amen. And then he says, I'm going to make this last request, Timothy. Bring John Mark with you. Then I could see my own mind eyes and my spiritual imagination of the Word of God increasing. And I can see Pastor Paul just as clear as he shivers from the coal in his hands, begin to shake, and he rubs them together to get warm from the coal, and he resumes the writing of this letter. For in this letter, he exhorts Timothy to remain strong in the faith and to continue preaching the word of God, because he tells him to be instant in season and out of season. Hallelujah. Preach when you feel like it and preach when you don't. Somebody say glory. Because Paul knew that church folks will be in unity one day and then they'll fall out the next day. Somebody say preach. But he wanted to leave recorded to the preacher. Either way they go, Timothy. I'm going to say it again. Either way they go, you continue to rock steady, because you can't get along down here, you ain't going up there. Somebody say amen. And then he goes on to say he reached a point of this ministerial journey where he has done what the Lord would have him to do, and he has arrived at the point on the journey. He has come to that junction of life's highway, where he has gone as far as he can go. And he tells Timothy that the time of my departure is at hand. I want to tell you there's two things in life that we must take note of, and that is arrival time and departure time. In life, there's a coming in, and then there's a going out. There's an entrance, and then there's an exit. Somebody say, I know I'm right about it. And between the coming in and the going out, we ought to make a difference in somebody's life. We ought to make a positive impact upon the lives of others. So the outline of our life will spell out like the songwriters. If I can help somebody as I travel along this way, then my living will not be in vain. I feel like preaching, and congested as I may be. Paul has made it to the close part of his departure. And he says to Timothy, I'm not sad about my departure. I'm not heartbroken about my exit. Because I've done what I could while I could. And I've done what I could when I could. And I've done what I could for who I could. And he says, Timothy, I fought a good fight. Oh, hallelujah. And I read just a little bit further, and I remember Paul saying, I got three I have. For this fight is not with human opposition. For he said, number one, I wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against the rulers of darkness in this world. And that alone helped me stay in line with my text this morning. I've got something in the layaway. Because when you make up in your mind, for God I live and for God I die. When you make up in your mind, I'm going to stay on the battlefield working for the Lord until I die. When you make up in your mind, sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt you. I stopped by early this morning to tell you it's going to get hard to get along with some of them church folks. He said, I fought a good fight. I didn't fight dirty. I didn't fight the preachers. I didn't fight the deacons. I didn't fight the trustees. I didn't fight the ushers. I didn't fight the mothers of the church, but I fought a good fight. Somebody said, number two, I'm going to close in a minute. He said, I finished my course. I have completed my race. For Paul knew about earthly races, and their goal was to make it to the finishing line. Paul knew that in earthly races, in order to win, you got to pass all the other runners. If I'm right about it, somebody say amen. But in spiritual races, Paul knew you don't have to worry about passing anybody, because the race isn't given to the swift, nor to the strong, but to the one that endureth to the end, the very end, the same shall be saved. For you see, when you have unity and when you have something in the layaway, you don't have to run me down. You don't have to challenge me. You don't have to prove to me that you're better than me, because a house divided against itself, somebody talk back to me, it just can't stand. Somebody said three. Thirdly, that's a close. Paul said, I have kept the faith. I was locked up sometimes, but I kept the faith. I was beat up. I was shipwrecked. I was bitten by a snake one day and I shook him off, but I kept the faith. I've been rebuked and I've been scorned, but I kept the faith. I stopped by early this morning on behalf of the great missionary apostle Paul and the five-letter word called unity to tell you, you can't keep everything if you have something in the layaway. I'll prove it. If you got something in the layaway, you can't keep hatred. You can't keep jealousy. And you can't keep envy. If I'm right about it, somebody say amen. Paul said, I've got something. I've got something in the layaway and it's mine. And one of these old days, I'm looking forward to getting what belongs to me. Listen, I stopped by early this morning to tell somebody listening unto me, if you got something in the layaway, listen to this. When you speak to people and they don't speak back to you and you keep on speaking, it's because you got something in the layaway. When they lie on you and you don't lie back, it's because you got something in the layaway. When you work with them and they don't work with you and you keep on working, it's because you got something in the layaway. When they stab you in the back and you don't stab back, it's because you got something in the layaway. I got a long white robe. I got a starry crown. I got a new name that the angels don't even know. And most of all, I've got eternal and everlasting life. I've got something in the layaway. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say amen. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, then I introduce to some and present to others, His name is Jesus. He died on the cross of Calvary that you and I might have a right to eternal and everlasting life. All you got to do is just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead and thou shalt be saved. You can repeat after me, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins, wash me in your blood and cleanse me from all of my unrighteousness and then save my soul. I need you to do some work. I need you to find a church. There's so many around you. Find one that's not only preaching the gospel, but they're also practicing it also. Amen. And then you just stay put. And let your ear hear what thus saith the Lord, and you learn how to be a good soldier in the army of the Lord. Remember, there's no perfect church, and if it was when you got there, it wouldn't be perfect anymore. And there's no perfect pastor, male or female, but just sit still. Hold on to God's unchanging hand until next Sunday morning. Remember, ain't nothing wrong with you. All you need is a few moments with the preacher at 7 a.m. May the God I serve bless you real good. Praise the Lord, everybody. Give honor to God, who is first in my life, and to the Spirit of God that abides in this early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church, Generation, G-E-N-E-L-A-T-I-O-N. Generation means we have a start-to-finish ministry given by God, exposing the Alpha and Omega. I believe the Lord has sent me to the kingdom for such a time as this, to minister to generations past, present, and future. I honor the past by singing hymns and anthems on a continual basis to never forget the songs that brought our forefathers and mothers over. And I establish the present by appointing junior ushers, junior deacons, junior trustees, and I train them in the fear of the Lord and treat them like the church of today and tomorrow, because I believe when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by by singing praise and worship without any music from time to time, so that our church will never get caught up with the method and miss the message. Blah, talk, radio. Y'all may be having church, for those of you that bought your Bibles. It is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. Mm-hmm. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody say, life. It is the only weapon we have that the thieves can't steal, the robbers can't take, and the police can't arrest. And I don't care where you live, somebody said, that is the word of God. I want to turn your attention just for a little while this morning on the day that the Lord has loaned to you and I for just a little while, to the book of 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and I'm going to begin reading at the 6th verse. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and 6th verse. If you're with me, say amen. If you need some more time, somebody say mercy. Mercy is a good thing. And the word of the Lord reads as thus, excuse me, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say amen. In the 8th verse, it says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the day, and not only to me, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be this morning, right here at the 8th verse of 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, before I can even give you my subject this morning. Because you all know the word unity. Unity means to make one and to be on one accord and harmony with all intended parties with the same destination in mind. And I need to be on unity road this morning before I can give you my text. If I'm right about it, somebody say amen. That's why. That's why I had no problem pulling the great missionary Apostle Paul out to help me this morning. For he makes it very clear in the 8th verse, because I've got to deal with this unity thing before I give you my text. Paul says, I've got something. It's not just for me. It's not just for me only, but it's for all who love the Lord too. Because if you work with me and I work with you and we work this thing together, we'll have unity. And so you don't have to sit back and be all nasty. You don't have to be jealous. You don't have to stab me in the back, because you will be able to get it also. Somebody say glory. My dear brothers and my sisters, as we begin to embark upon these written words by the great missionary Apostle Paul, who makes profound reference to the fact that he has something laid up for him. He has something awaiting him, and he has something forthcoming, and he has something in store for him. And by the virtue of the fact that he said henceforth, caught my attention this morning for this particular text. But that word alone means future. In layman terms, it means I can't get it right now, but it is laid up for me. And so that brought me to the title of this sermon this morning. And if you will, please tell somebody, I know it's early, but tell them, for me, I've got something in the layaway. Listen, put your hands on your hips and let your backbone slip and repeat after me. I've got something in the layaway. Let's have church. Church. That's the essence. And if you reduce it to its lowest terms of denomination, as we do in fractions, you will agree with me that Paul is saying to Timothy, listen, I've got something in the layaway. My dear brothers and my sisters, to fully appreciate this sermon this morning, one must fully understand from whom these words came from. And one must be conscious of the circumstances that the words were written from at the time of address. Paul, You all know him, don't you? Paul, who met the Lord in a fashion where unity was not present, in a place called Damascus Road. God had to fight him. Really, it wasn't a fight at all. It was a TKO at the first round, for the Bible declares that God knocked him down. I know I'm right about it. Somebody say amen. Prior to his conversion, his name was Saul. Paul, who did not want to be unified with anything or anybody, sort of like some church folk I know. But he had opposed the Christian movement, and he had used all the means at his disposal in an effort to bring down the Christian army. Paul, it is he that writes these words this morning. And my brothers and my sisters, many years have passed since this great experience, that life-changing experience on the road to Damascus, for much have occurred. Oh, you all know the story. He was shipwrecked, am I right about it? And then he was stoned, and he was left for dead in one city, and then he was locked up in another city. And now he is in jail at the House of Corrections in Philippi. Somebody gonna pray for me. He's locked up in jail without the bail. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, Paul writes these words, and I pray this morning that you realize that he writes these words from an unpleasant environment. Y'all don't mind if I take my time this morning, do you? He writes these words, which was part of his second letter to Timothy. And he says, from a cold, damp dungeon. Oh, you all know the story. He said it's damp, it's cold, and it's chilly. For you all know when you're in a church where there's no unity, you can feel the chill in the air. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And the chill came over Paul and began to write these words. He said, when you come. Somebody help me this morning. Hallelujah. He said, I need you to bring my cloak, because it's already grown cold, and I know these church folks don't like me, and I know what the vote's going to be the next time. Paul's mind began to go back to his young son in the ministry by the name of Timothy, and then he began to think and meditate on the fact that if I could just tell my son in the ministry these last words, I know everything will and shall be all right. Paul says, I want to see you, son. I've got to see you because I'm convinced that my time is just about up. And so when you come, I need you to bring my cloak. Because there's no unity here, and I can feel the coldness of the enemy. And then I need you to bring the parchments, the scriptures with you. For I'm getting old now, and my eyes are getting dim. But this one thing I do know. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. And I need to hear the word of God. And I need you to read a few scriptures unto me. And then he said, oh, one more thing. Somebody say one more thing this morning. Timothy, if you will, please, when you come, I need you to bring a certain fellow with you. I know I never liked a whole lot of visitors in church, but I need you to bring a certain fellow with you, because I had a falling out with his uncle over him, and then I fell out with Barnabas, my earlier comrade in the ministry, over this young man, and we had some difference of reconciliation together with the both of us, whereas we've gone as far as we can go. I need you to bring John Mark with you, because I know I don't have long to stay here, and I know I can't get my stuff out of layaway until I get a few things straightened out with me and John Mark. I need to put a cord in the meter right there. And I shouldn't have to tell you but one time, you can't get your stuff out of layaway until you straighten out of things with your John Mark. Everybody has a John Mark in their life. Somebody say amen. And then he says, I'm going to make this last request. Timothy, bring John Mark with you. Then I could see my own mind eyes and my spiritual imagination of the word of God increasing. And I can see Pastor Paul just as clear as he shivers from the cold, and his hands begin to shake, and he rubs them together to get warm from the cold, and he resumes the writing of this letter. For in his letter, he exhorts Timothy to remain strong in the faith and to continue preaching the word of God, because he tells him to be instant in season and out of season. Hallelujah. Preach when you feel like it and preach when you don't. Somebody say glory. Because Paul knew that church folks will be in unity one day and then they'll fall out the next day. Somebody say preach. But he wanted to leave recorded to the preacher. Either way they go, Timothy. I'm going to say it again. Either way they go, you continue to rock steady, because you can't get along down here, you ain't going up there. Somebody say amen. And then he goes on to say he reached a point of this ministerial journey where he has done what the Lord would have him to do, and he has arrived at the point on the journey. He has come to that junction of life's highway, where he has gone as far as he can go. And he tells Timothy that the time of my departure is at hand. I want to tell you there's two things in life that we must take note of, and that is arrival time and departure time. In life, there's a coming in, and then there's a going out. There's an entrance, and then there's an exit. Somebody say, I know I'm right about it. And between the coming in and the going out, we ought to make a difference in somebody's life. We ought to make a positive impact upon the lives of others. So the outline of our life will spell out like the songwriters. If I can help somebody as I travel along this way, then my living will not be in vain. I feel like preaching, and congested as I may be. Paul has made it to the close part of his departure. And he says to Timothy, I'm not sad about my departure. I'm not heartbroken about my exit. Because I've done what I could while I could. And I've done what I could when I could. And I've done what I could for who I could. And he says, Timothy, I fought a good fight. Oh, hallelujah. And I read just a little bit further, and I remember Paul saying, I got three I have. For this fight is not with human opposition. For he said, number one, I wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against the rulers of darkness in this world. And that alone helped me stay in line with my text this morning. I've got something in the layaway, because when you make up in your mind, for God I live and for God I die. When you make up in your mind, I'm going to stay on the battlefield working for the Lord until I die. When you make up in your mind, sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt you. I stopped by early this morning to tell you it's going to get hard to get along with some of them church folks. He said, I fought a good fight. I didn't fight dirty. I didn't fight the preachers. I didn't fight the deacons. I didn't fight the trustees. I didn't fight the ushers. I didn't fight the mothers of the church, but I fought a good fight. Somebody say number two. I'm going to close in a minute. He said, I finished my course. I have completed my race. For Paul knew about earthly races, and their goal was to make it to the finishing line. Paul knew that in earthly races, in order to win, you got to pass all the other runners. If I'm right about it, somebody say amen. But in spiritual races, Paul knew you don't have to worry about passing anybody, because the race isn't given to the swift, nor to the strong, but to the one that endureth to the end, the very end, the same shall be saved. For you see, when you have unity, and when you have something in the layaway, you don't have to run me down. You don't have to challenge me. You don't have to prove to me that you're better than me, because a house divided against itself, somebody talk back to me, it just can't stand. Somebody said three. Thirdly, that's a close. Paul said, I have kept the faith. I was locked up sometimes, but I kept the faith. I was beat up. I was shipwrecked. I was bitten by a snake one day and I shook him off, but I kept the faith. I've been rebuked and I've been scorned, but I kept the faith. I stopped by early this morning on behalf of the great missionary Apostle Paul and the five-letter word called unity, to tell you, you can't keep everything if you have something in the layaway. I'll prove it. If you got something in the layaway, you can't keep hatred. You can't keep jealousy. And you can't keep envy. If I'm right about it, somebody say amen. Paul said, I've got something. I've got something in the layaway, and it's mine. And one of these old days, I'm looking forward to getting what belongs to me. Listen, I stopped by early this morning to tell somebody listening unto me, if you got something in the layaway, listen to this. When you speak to people and they don't speak back to you and you keep on speaking, it's because you got something in the layaway. When they lie on you and you don't lie back, it's because you got something in the layaway. When you work with them and they don't work with you and you keep on working, it's because you got something in the layaway. When they stab you in the back and you don't stab back, it's because you got something in the layaway. I got a long white robe. I got a starry crown. I got a new name that the angels don't even know. And most of all, I've got eternal and everlasting life. I've got something in the layaway. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say amen. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, then I introduce to some and present to others, His name is Jesus. He died on the cross of Calvary that you and I might have a right to eternal and everlasting life. All you got to do is just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. You can repeat after me, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins, wash me in your blood, and cleanse me from all of my unrighteousness, and then save my soul. I need you to do some work. I need you to find a church. There's so many around you. Find one that's not only preaching the gospel, but they're also practicing it also. Amen? And then you just stay put. And let your ear hear what thus saith the Lord, and you learn how to be a good soldier in the army of the Lord. Remember, there's no perfect church, and if it was when you got there, it wouldn't be perfect anymore. And there's no perfect pastor, male or female, but just sit still. Hold on to God's unchanging hand until next Sunday morning. Remember, ain't nothing wrong with you. All you need is a few moments with the preacher at 7 a.m. May the God I serve bless you real good.
Blog Talk Radio.